for them. Yeah. So, and then we have also pieces for everyone, right?
AJ?
So we now too, but we use an umbrella. But after that, I kind of wish that. I was thinking, probably.
Welcome, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're starting session one, and this is called Equipping Boys to be Spiritually Discerning Men. And AJ is going to take care of that. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus. Lord God, we come before you and we say, Lord God, have your way. Direct us today. We recognize there's challenges ahead of us with boys, and we need your help. You say, train a child in the way he should go, and they will not depart. But we don't have the manual. We don't have each boy's heart and what's going on with them. So we need wisdom. We need guidance. And we need your help, Lord God. And that's why we cry out to you, Lord God. We know, Lord God, we don't want to be hearers. We want to be doers, Lord God. And it's you that brings the increase. We pray, Lord God, that here tonight, today, Lord God, that you just implant the word in our hearts. Just something, Lord God, for us to hold on to. Something for us to act on, Lord God. Because we need your direction. We need guidance. We know there's people here of so many different situations, whether it's family or ministry, Lord God. They need guidance. We need guidance. And we're asking you to help open our eyes to what it is you want us to see, Lord God, because it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but by your spirit, Lord
God.
So Lord Jesus, we ask, Lord God, that you do a work among us today, Lord God, that only you could do, Lord God. We have ideas, we have strategies, but Lord God, you're the one that brings the increase, Lord God.
Amen.
So Lord Jesus, do a work, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray. We have questions, Lord God, and we're going to go to you for those questions, Lord God. We have ideas, but Lord God, even if those, we go to you, say, is this good or not, Lord God?
Yes.
We need your help. We pray that you lead us today, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together for such a time as this, Lord God.
Oh, yes.
Your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst, Lord God. So Lord Jesus, we believe you're here. We believe you want to work, Lord God. And we give you the credit, Lord God. We don't want to take credit for any ideas or any thoughts we come up with. We want to give you, Lord God, the credit and say, God, lead us. Be glorified. Let it be, Lord Jesus. Implant this word that you put in my heart, Lord God, today. Just to fight. Fight others' battles, Lord God. So this is the word that you gave. I pray that you instill it. You put it in my heart. I don't even know what to do with it, but that's the word. And I pray that you do a work among us today, Lord God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're just gonna share some scripture, okay? Joshua. It's gonna be a book of Joshua. So if you want to open a book of Joshua, you know, feel free, you know, to go there. But we're in a battle. There's some handouts over there. It just sort of has a lot of resources. Of options you could do for discipling boys, raising boys, a definition of manhood, you know, definition of manhood you need before you even start, I guess, you know. And one of them is one from the Raising the Modern Day Knight book, you know, rejects passivity a man, accepts responsibility, leads courageously and expects a greater reward. Those books I just stuck over there just for visuals, Lord God. Those are some of the resources I've used, you know, and you could just jot some of those down if you think they'd be helpful to you. But we got to be intentional. We got to be ready to just impart in boys because somebody's imparting in them. So we just want to, you know, be intentional with it. But we're just going to share some scriptures. And before we even start this talk, we always have to have a little statistics, you know, like how that works, you know. Raising Spiritual Champions is a book that came out in 2023. George Barna, you know, a lot of, you know, pastors probably refer to that a lot. They had the Arizona Christian University do all these statistics in 2020, all the churches around, 2,000 adults, 400 children doing, and they're just finding that there's a lack of a Christian worldview among people, among boys especially, and teenagers. 1%, they find, is of American children, 13 to 14-year-olds, have a Christian worldview, you know? And so what is a Christian worldview? They just have a couple of definitions. There's one supreme being as revealed by the Orthodox biblical understanding of God. 2, all human beings are sinful by nature. 3, the consequences of our sin can only be forgiven and eliminated through Jesus Christ. They say about only one out of every three 13-year-olds believe that. The entire Bible is true, reliable, and relevant. One out of every four children embrace that, and only 46% of adults, you know. So, and five, absolute moral truth exists. 21% of children accept this. The ultimate purpose of human life is to know, love, and serve God. One out of every four children believe that. And success on earth is best understood as consistent obedience to God. Only 17% believe in that. So we're just gonna go a couple. So that's what, you know, we already know those type of concepts. We're in crisis. So how do we install a biblical worldview? So there's one verse that God gave me to share with us today. That was from Joshua 10, okay? And so we're gonna go back to that. But first, as I read that scripture, it just went during prayer time. I just said, "This is what God is speaking to me about what I need to do as a man, raising boys to be spiritual leaders." But then I just kept going back a little bit further. So I'm just going to go through a few steps through Joshua that prepares us for what to impart spiritual concepts into boys. So the first thing is, I don't know where everybody's sort of at different levels. Eventually, we just got to start. We just got to start doing it. And I don't know how it is for you in ministry and others, but sometimes, you know, a leader's just not there anymore. And now you got to step in. Okay? Moses is dead. Joshua, you know, he told you, Moses is dead. Now it's your turn. Now you got to do something. And it's sort of how I felt, you know, as a Royal Ranger leader 11 years ago. There's no Royal Rangers. Okay, but I was a Royal Ranger before, you know. I'm doing a lot of things now. I'm busy. Okay. No leader. Now you're there. Okay, so sometimes that's how it happens. And sometimes you just got to say, God, give me strength. And as we know, we read these scriptures, you know, three times God says what? Joshua, be strong and courageous. And also at the end, the people even said, Joshua will listen to you. Be strong and courageous. So sometimes people encourage us to do what God wants us to do as well. So, but we just got to start. Mm-hmm. The leader's dead, and there's nobody there. Not necessarily physically dead, but there's no one there. So we got to step in. Now, sometimes, you know, you wish. It's always awesome when a leader says, I'm going to transition you into this, but sometimes there's nothing. Moses, there was a training period, you know, maybe. He was hanging out outside the tabernacle listening, but then when it came through, Moses isn't there anymore, and he has to rely on God. So that's, you know, we didn't realize there's a time we just got to start. Then there's strategy. Joshua 2 talks about he starts sending out spies, okay? But, you know, remember the last time the spies, 12 guys going out, two of them came back, and the other rest of them had a warped perspective of what their strategy was. They thought the strategy was, you know, battle tactics. Could we handle this? No. It's, let's bring back that God could do great things if we just do it, if we just start and enter the battle. And so Joshua sent out two spies this time. And where'd they go? Rahab, a prostitute. Maybe not the best battle strategy, but they were just trying to bring back what God was doing. We saw the land, but it's ultimately God that's going to bring the victory. So I think sometimes it's good to strategize. It's good to talk about statistics and getting committees and... But we got to be consideration of the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit. We can't just say, well, there's too many things against me. I'm not going to be able to do this. We just got to say, God, if there's a crisis here, we need to do something. We need to do something and let God work through it. We, you know, so many times, you know, even in missions, we strategize, we plan things. Sunday school, you know, should we get rid of Sunday school because of numbers? Missions trip, is this a good one to go on? Is it going to be effective? You know, Royal Rangers, should we start this? Should we start a youth? You know, we got to be in prayer. We have to seek God. God, what do you want to do? What should I do? I need to do something, how do I do it? Because if we focus on the statistics and the strategy too much, it makes no sense some of the times to do some of the things we do. You know, it makes no sense to start a program when, you know, I don't see, you know, other people might be doing a better job, maybe trying to direct them there, but they're not going to you. They're going to you. So we just have to not be stuck on the statistics. You know, if we were stuck on the statistics with foster care, adoption, nobody would adopt. It makes no sense because it makes your life complicated. But involved in ministry is being directed by the Holy Spirit. We want to get instructions from God. You know, God told Joshua in chapter 3, he said, I'm going to start parting the Jordan, okay? And he said, and he gave him instructions, you know, priest, you go first, and the second you put your foot on it, it's going to start parting, you know. We need God. We need to seek God. What do you want me to do? Direct me, guide me. We can't, you know, we just got to depend on God. Everything we do in the Word of God, in our ministry, we got to seek. There was a period that David said, should I go rescue my family in Ziklag? You know, it makes a lot of sense. Automatically, or it seems like a no-brainer. But he sought after God, and he said, yes, go, you have victory. Even the things that seems obvious, let's just do it. We got to seek God. What instructions are you having me to do? Oops, okay. We have to hope. We need to, you know, when we start something, we have to start planning. God's going to be moving us further. Joshua, after they crossed that Jordan, what did he tell him to do? Grab a couple of stones. You know, each, you know, 12 of you guys, we're all involved in this. Grab these stones. Bring them up to the edge of the Jordan. We're going to set these up, and we're going to remember. You know, right then, they're just starting out their ministry. But we're going to remember that God did a great work during this time. Sometimes it's important to start preparing, giving vision to those around us. God's going to do a work here. And let's just set things in place so that we can reflect on what God. It's okay, maybe. So yeah, we started out this boys' ministry. There's only 2 boys here. That doesn't seem that great. You write that down. You say, I'm going to give God the glory because I'm hoping for something more. You know, right now, I don't even know what to say to people. But you got a couple of people together. They're sitting in front of you. Like, you know, give God the glory. Hope that God has something greater. So you start bringing memorial stories. Start journaling. Start claiming scripture. You know, now's your time to just say, I'm writing down all the things that I'm having problems with in the beginning. Because I'm hoping for something better. I'm going to write these down because I know not to complain because I want to give God glory later. Okay, so these are reasons why we hope for these in the future. Joshua 5 talks about understanding God's heart in ministry. We know that story. He's like, are you full? He sees this big guy standing there, the commander of the Lord's army. He said, are you for us? Are you for our enemies? He said, neither. And that's the perspective God has. You know, sometimes in ministry, we're like, all right, we're going to save all these children, okay? We're going to figure out how to disciple them, raise them up. And God's not on our side as a church or as a ministry. He's not against the parents, but he's on their side, you know? He's not against the school doing, you know, things. He's on all their sides. So we need to figure out how to work together to say, and it's not all about me. It's about how do I minister to this boy, this person in front of me, to raise him up to be a godly person. But sometimes we just think it's us versus them. It's, you know, sometimes it can be parents. And it's like, no, we got to figure out how to raise these boys to be godly men with the parents and not just apart from them. So how do we, you know, even at Raw Rangers, I want the fathers to come in. And there's some people call it, here's a meatball. We're having activity all, and Father, you could just come. We had it all organized, you know. So things like that, we're going to do it. Parents do their own thing. No, let's do it together. You know, find ways to, you know, to do it together. Because God isn't on one side. He's on everybody's side. There's different outcomes, but based on choices, but he's on all their sides. He's not picking sides here. Of course, we know what happened after there. You know, it was clear that Joshua didn't come up with, hey, God, if there's a great battle strategy, we'll walk around this thing, the walls will fall down. That's so clearly what, I mean, God was in it. God was the directing. Joshua didn't glory. He was like, look what Joshua did. He's amazing. Look how he figured that out. It was clearly God that did it. And that's what we got to have a perspective. Like, if God is leading me, I'm not the credit. I might hear from God and let's do it. Let's rally everybody, but we need to constantly saying, I want to have God get the credit. And also we also think about Jericho. There's no way Joshua could take credit for figuring that out. You know, it was clearly God, and that's what we need to have, that perspective. God is going to be directing. And then we got to read. Sometimes something happens. Sometimes you're like, oh no, look, a kid did something wrong. My whole ministry, that's a reflection on me. Sometimes it's nothing. Nobody's done anything wrong, but a bad thing happens in your ministry, in your group, in your family. And you're like, but it's a time to cry out to God. And Joshua has wisdom. He asks, what are you going to do for your great name? Not about me, not about my ministry. What are you going to do for your great name? What is going on here? Why do we lose a battle to a little city called Ai, which we didn't even have, need to take all our guys to fight this battle? What are you going to do for your great name? God showed him, Joshua, it's not about you figuring this out. There's sin. And deal with the sin, and then there's not going to be a problem. But it's not always that, but sometimes it's just like Job, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm just trying to show you some things. I'm just trying to grow you. I'm trying to develop you. Okay. What are you going to do for your great name? How are you going to be glorified in through this difficult situation? And that is and that's what God's asking us to do. That perspective, not what's the root? And that's going to take prayer. That's going to take seeking after God. That's going to take God. What do we do with this situation? Because it's not good. Whatever's going on, it's not good. And then it's clear that the victory happens again. They went back to battle with Ai. Ai said, we're going to win this battle again. They're coming at us again. All right, no problem. But, God directed Joshua to say, well, why don't we do the same thing but stick a couple guys in the back door, and then when they come out, we go back and we just get them all together. And I mean, God gave revelation. Now, it wasn't because it was a great battle strategy this time around. God showed him, this is what we should do, okay? Sin is a camp, and it's just clear that God is winning the battles in our lives and days of old, and he's still doing it the same way. We need to keep saying, if we do this, that God's going to lead us, and he's going to give us the victories. And we're on 9. It says, pray, or you're going to make a bad decision. Now, this is where we're leading up to the one point. I only want them to make one point. So the point after this is going to be the main point. Sometimes we're not praying. In the beginning of our ministry, I know myself, I feel the same way. Let's gather around, let's pray. Because I have no idea what we're going to be doing today. I just don't have the experience, so let's pray and seek after God with this. But then you start having a routine, start getting, say Royal Rangers, you start getting this thing in place, that thing in place, we can run this thing without anybody praying at all. Because we got a fine-tuned machine. But we can't get to that point. Because what happens is every situation has a little thorn from the enemy, a little situation we got to deal with. And without prayer, we're going to miss it. So this is Joshua, just walking, through life. And someone comes up to him, the Gibeonites, and say, we're from a far distance, and we want to make an alliance with you. And so sounds simple enough, made sense. It was like logical. Look at how their clothes are worn and their bread's all old. Okay, makes sense. But as you notice, the scripture says they didn't inquire of the Lord. They didn't ask God. And that was a key point of that. And then they got into a covenant with them. And then they found out they're right next door neighbor. And now God's called them to take that land. And now they're stuck, having to, to be with. So we need to pray, because it's so easy as a ministry to say, we have this, we got it, we figured it out, now we just coast. No, there's no coasting. No coasting. We got to keep saying, God, what should I do now? Even the Royal Rangers, we can't keep doing Royal Rangers the way we do it. When I was a kid, I was a Royal Ranger, I'm 54, 40 years ago. it's changing. What do we do now? You know, there's some people that are doing great ministries, but just because it was, we got each day, because what do we do now? What do we do? It's a different season. It's a different people in front of me. It's a different, you know, it doesn't mean the word of God's changing, but a situation change. We need to inquire of God. What do we do? So if we don't, we're going to make some bad decisions. And we just could tell, we always do this. This is the way we always did it. But that's, you're going to make some bad decisions. And this is the one word that God implanted in my heart. That's why I stuck it in red. Sometimes you have to fight other people's battles. Okay, I mean, I've always heard this story, you know, and for some reason I just read it for the first time a few weeks ago. The Gibeonites, you know, said, "Hey guys, remember that we tricked you and we you said that you would be aligned with us. Okay. Now we're in trouble, and come to our aid, okay? So now Joshua's called to fight somebody else's battle. Not even his battle. He's got enough things. God told him, you go here. You go. This is the land you go. But now he's telling him, he's got to fight a guy that just tricked him. You know, a guy that's not really worth, you know, he's already ticked off at him. That's what ministry's about. This is what God implanted in my heart. That this is what ministry is about and pouring into boys' lives. They're going to mess up. They're going to make our lives complicated. We got to fight for them as if it's our own soul. Because they're not that they deserve it. Or not because, you know, we see great potential in it. It's because God's calling us to fight other people's battles. I don't know how many times as times people say, I can't do this. And whether it's when it's a child, whether it's a father, whether it's a ministry leader, I can't do this. Well, let's pray, and we're gonna pray with all the gusto that as if it was my own life that's dependent on it. And that's the type of approach we need to have in ministry. I'm gonna pray for this boy in front of me as if it's my son. I'm gonna pray for this boy's relationship with his father as if it's my relationship with my own son. And I believe that is what God implanted in my heart, that there's a time that it's like, I don't have the there's a temptation. It's like, I don't have the time for that. I got my own stuff going on. I want to help, but, you know, and it's that balance. So that's why we have to ask God, how do we do this? And the thing is, there's not really many other great miracles that could top stopping the sun in the sky for a bit. And it wasn't even for his own battle. It was for someone else that tricked him. And he cried out to God, help. And that's the approach we need to have. Let us inquire of God for our boys. Inquire of God for our the fathers of the boys that they're with. Inquire boy for the people that are treating them bad, but God's still on their side. He's still on their side. The leaders that they seem like they're upset because of maybe relationships with other people. We're still gonna pray and as if it's our own battle, and the other perspective on this is the example of Samuel and Eli. Eli had some bad kids. If you look at Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, his kids are messed up, off, not even serving God, but he allowed Samuel to come in his life, mentor him. He was speaking the truth into his life. But he didn't know how to raise a good son, it seemed like. But he knew enough to say, listen to God's voice. I don't know what to do, but listen to God's voice. He had enough to say that. And that's the type of approach we need to have. I don't know what to do, but I've messed up. I've done this wrong in ministry. I've done this wrong in my own children. But listen to God's voice. Because, you know, he's gonna speak that boy will speak back to you and say, this is what God told me. Because you're going to hunger for that. And so that's, you know, we got to look at that example. We can look at Eli and say, man, what a guy. He did so many bad things. But no, he mentored Samuel to be a godly man. And he was available at the right time to just say, even though his own problems, Eli could have did several things. You woke me up in the middle of the night, go back to bed, I'm tired. I got all these ministry things I got to do. You blow them off. He could have said, God can't speak to a child. You know, it might not even cross his mind. He could have said, you know, don't worry, go back to bed. Something you ate. No. He had enough discernment to say, maybe God's talking to him. He doesn't talk to me. He might have been thinking, he's not talking to me, but maybe he could talk to the child. You know, and he had enough hope to say that maybe he's talking to the child. Sometimes men don't know how to start ministering to their children, to their boys. They think, I'm not worthy. I messed up. How am I going to come up with great things like our pastor? We have Pastor Greg in our church here. He's a great pastor. He could probably speak great ideas to his children. Takes a strength to say, I'm going to try and do a devotion. I don't even know what to do. Let's just read the Bible. You know, as men, it's scary to lead. It's scary to start ministering to boys because you're like, I might not be able to do it well. And I might be able to do it well. But we need to say, let me engage. God's called me to engage. There's a boy in front of me. There's a boy in need. I need to engage in his life and we need to speak into his life. So, encourage fathers. I mean, in this group, encourage fathers. Let them lead. Give them ammunition. If they don't know what to do, just do something. Get the Bible. Just keep put the Bible on your table in the morning. Maybe something will happen. You know, just do something. You know, just start somewhere. And just encourage it because it's so easy to dismiss the role of a father and a leader in a boy's life. So the thing is, it could be always scary. You know, I'm gonna fight everybody's battles. You know, God knows that. God knows our needs. And so, you know, when we're fighting, there's a time. He knows how to give rest. He knows how to give rest. We gotta trust that he's gonna give us rest. And it says the Lord said, land rested from war eventually. And there's a time of refreshing. But when the opportunity is in front of us, we gotta say, let's go on, let's do it. And the last thing is, he knows we got a lot of things going on. He knows that there is, we have our own problems with our own families. He knows that our marriages need strengthening. He knows that our children, Joshua, wound up fighting 31 kings, which means, a lot of battles. And as at the end of his life, he said, 31, he won. You know, he might have fought that one and took... He didn't take time away. That was what God called him to do. We need to realize that sometimes God sees that we seem like we're taking a step away from what God's telling us to invest in. But he knows that there's other things that he's going to be giving us victories in later on. Okay, so it's the hope that there's battles that he's going to win for us. You know, because, that's, he knows the prayers that we pray even before we pray them. So we need to trust that he knows the battles that we need to fight. So that's it. We have like one. How many? 2 minutes? 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Yeah. Okay.
What made you want to become like a Royal Ranger and kind of like want to like help the youth out or like kind of play back into like give back to the community? You know.
Moses was dead. Nothing. Nobody's doing it. Somebody asked me, could you do this? I said, I don't think so. I work in the ER. I work six different shifts in the ER. How am I going to commit? Person said, well, maybe we could cover for you here and there. Maybe we could chart. I'm like, I don't think, well, yeah. That's how.
Yeah, I have a similar situation as far as a coach, and they needed a coach, so I kind of...
Yeah.
But as far as, dealing with the kids, it's almost like we install so much. We do what we can when we have them.
Yeah.
You know, but where I'm from in my community, there's so much negativity. You know what I mean? There's so much negativity. And like you said, it's just how the world is. We all see it, whether it's on a computer, on the phones, they're always bombarded with so much. So, for me, my question is, with you, so kids come with like one of them questions. I don't know everything about the Bible. I'm still in the process of learning. So that's one of my things. I sometimes I doubt myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sure we all been there, because, you know, stepping into something, if you don't know everything, you feel like you have to know more. You know,
yeah.
But like you just said, if it's a need, you know, as I learn, as I teach the kids, I guess I'm learning as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The fact that you even have a understanding that you need to learn,
yeah.
You're there. Gotta use you. How much? Are we done?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. We can connect, but we gotta stop because of time. Thank you, guys. All right.